As a youth pastor, I had some students approach me and ask a question that kind of took me by surprise. They said, can we pray on a regular basis at our school? What we had been doing was this annual prayer walk when the school started in the fall. And students were interested in doing that on a more regular basis. So we decided to do weekly prayer groups. I met with a group of students, 8 of them. Met at the largest public school in our state in Michigan, where I still live. A school that's very diverse, 48 countries of origin represented in one student body. And as we began to pray, some time goes by, and I noticed their prayers were what you might typically hear from students. God, help us today. Be with us. Thank you for this day. Help us in our test. That type of thing. And then one day, we're all challenged. What can we pray about together that we would know would make a difference at the school? Students immediately mentioned the issue of fighting. They talked about how it had become more prevalent, happening almost on a daily basis. And we decided to focus on that issue. 2 months go by, and someone shared the statistical board report from that public school stating all the areas of interest in the school, attendance, and different things. And in that report was included the fact that fighting had come to an end at that school for that particular time. And that never happened before. And the school couldn't figure out what was going on and why that happened. And that energized us and this small group of students because we realized in a new way the power of prayer. Now, that was an incredibly tough thing. I remember standing there in the lobby, off to the side of the lobby of that school in those mornings on Tuesday, and we would stand and pray. And I thought about the guts and the courage it would take for those students to do that. And what we're going to talk about is some of the tough things about being a Christ follower on campus. And we asked students that particular question, what's the toughest thing about being a Christ follower at your school? And we're going to find out. I think the answer is going to surprise us.
Yeah, today we're talking about where school and faith, where they intersect, and how we can really encourage students to pray on their campus.
I'm Jeff Eckert.
I'm Jason Brewer, and this is The Thought Factory.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, cultivating students through biblical discipleship and spiritual disciplines using theology, community, and technology. Learn more at neverthesame.org.
Well, it is season 2, episode 2. Great to be back. Last episode, we talked about fear with students and how they experience fear, how often they experience fear, experiencing fear on a daily basis, what causes fear in their lives. We looked at different stats on how they fear being abandoned or loneliness, and how we can encourage them as youth leaders, as youth pastors, as adults, to have courage, to depend on the Holy Spirit when they are experiencing fear. And the next episode, we have a guest. He's been in his profession for decades, so we like to consider him an expert because of the number of years that he's been involved in his profession. And today, like I said, we are talking about where school and faith intersect.
So we've done this research, and we've asked students their thoughts on things. And today, like Jason said, faith and school, how do those things intersect? How do they collide? How do they complement each other? And this research, as we've done in past episodes, has helped us explore and understand the world of students. What really goes on in their minds? What are they thinking? And as adults, how are we interpreting that? How are we understanding that? And we're going to look at that today. One particular question that was very fascinating to us in how students answered and how adults responded as well. And we want to dive into the mind of students here. We ask them the question of what is the most difficult thing about being a believer at your school? And again, this answer really surprised us. And what we did was we asked students their thoughts and we asked adults to give us their prediction of how they thought students would answer. And this is what students said. The fear of what other people think was one of the things on their minds. Offending other people with their beliefs was another tough thing. Or being unsure of how to represent their faith. Those were all in the mix in students' answers. But here's what they said. Their number one answer to that question of what's the toughest thing about being a Christ follower at your school was being unsure of how to represent their faith. 45%, almost half. So almost half of students are saying, the toughest thing for me about being a Christian at school is being unsure how to represent our faith. Fear of what others think was way down numerically. Only 28% said they were afraid of what other people thought of them. And then offending others was 20%. Those were the top three answers. So 45% said unsure of how to represent their faith. 28% said they were unsure or they were afraid of what other people thought. And 20% were afraid of offending others. Now, adults, on the other hand, their response was quite different. They rated fear and how they thought students' response as number one. So 49% of adults said that they thought that students were afraid of what other people thought.
Now, I look at these stats, and I actually, the 45% of saying unsure how to represent my faith is actually encouraging to me. If I was a youth leader and I'm working with students saying, hey, you know, it's important to share your faith, represent your faith on school campus, in your home, in your community, everywhere you go, in a sense. And when students are saying, I'm unsure how to represent my faith, that's a teaching point. That's something that I go, all right, I'm going to start telling them and showing them, teaching them how to represent their faith on the school campus. And so when there's nearly half of them saying, I just don't know how, that's encouraging, I believe. And it looks like there's a shift from this fear, the fear of what others think, to being unsure, a shift away from fear of offending people. And so we can help students navigate standing for the truth and overcome this fear of rejection. Like I said, I think this is really encouraging. And so there's this false choice of disagreement with people where there's, if I disagree with you, if I don't believe what you believe, if I don't necessarily live like you, there's this fear of like, I all of a sudden hate you or you hate me. And yet as a Christ follower, we stand up for the truth. And when we disagree with somebody, we still need to be able to show love and live out love and be able to explain the truth with love, because sometimes our words are offending or offensive. And sometimes our words, the words of Christ, the gospel, can come across as very offensive, but are we telling the truth in a spirit of love? And so how do we help students understand and live this out?
Yeah, that seems to be one of the burdens that students really are bearing, is they're saying, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to be seen as a hater. And so when we disagree with our friends and maybe beliefs that they have as Christ followers, what we understand the truth to be, and as we look at the scriptures and try to live our life and really represent the gospel, what if that is totally in disagreement with someone else? And how do we help students, like you said, see that it's a false choice when presented to them that, well, if you disagree, you hate them? And I think helping them understand that reality, that it really is a false choice, that it's not an either or, that just because you disagree with somebody, that doesn't mean that you hate them. And for adults, that idea that we're thinking that students are afraid of what other people think, I think in generations past, that would be true, that being a Christ follower on campus, previous generations have said their number one fear was fear of what other people think and not wanting to stand out. I think students are clearly saying now there's been a change, there's been a shift. And for them, they're saying, I'm not really afraid of what other people think. I don't mind standing out as much. I just don't know. And like you said, Jason, I think it's huge that I think overcoming being unsure is way easier than overcoming fear.
You know, we can disagree. Like you and I, we have disagreements. We don't see eye to eye on everything. Like, for instance, your favorite restaurants are different than my favorite restaurants.
For the most part, I would say, yeah.
You know, let's say, for instance, I know you love Boston Market.
I do love Boston Market. I'm ashamed of that.
I come from the truth where I stand that I don't get Boston Market, where it's this like your home-cooked fast food. And so for your love for Boston Market is way more in a disagreement of what I stand for, which is why even stop there. When I'm thinking like, let's go out to dinner, Boston Market's not even making the
list.
Hey,
you know what? I'm offended.
Right.
I'm offended by what
I still
saying.
Love you.
Hey, I don't know about that.
Right.
Do you, Jason? I think Boston Market's great. You know, if you're going to go out and you want something kind of quick, but I know you said it's homemade fast food or whatever, yeah, but I still like it.
Hey, I want a home-cooked meal really, really fast.
Their sweet potatoes probably have about 5 pounds of brown sugar in them, but they're good.
And so I'm going to go to Boston Market.
That's exactly
and
right.
And take it to go.
And that's a light example, obviously, but you can disagree with somebody and still not hate them. And I think for students to know, they can even say that to their peers at school. If there's a conflict of some kind that arises because of their faith, they can say, listen, we may disagree. It doesn't mean I feel any differently about you. I still love you. And they're obviously still filled with Christ's love. And so we've got to help students be able to navigate that conversation.
And I think there's this thought that if you are different than me, there's an automatic, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like you are just a different person in what you believe, but also just different lifestyle. And when we acknowledge the differences in people, there's this tendency that it's like, now that's a bad thing. Instead of accepting our differences and still being able to interact with love with each other. And I think we have a tendency to, well, you're different, so I'm going to isolate myself away from those who are different than me.
Yeah, really admiring things in people is a great place to start. We tend to, in our society, it feels like more and more polarize each other. So if we have one belief about one area of life or whatever it might be a moral choice or lifestyle or behavior or of worldview. But if we have maybe one or a few differences, we tend to think in our society would tend to lead us down towards, well, you just can't even get along or admire anything about that person. And I think one of the keys is saying to students, and I think you see this in the example of Christ in the Gospels, that he was able to build bridges with people by admiring who they were. You don't have to totally write off someone. God's love is the same for everyone. It's equal. And even though we might understand truth differently, look at things differently, and have a different worldview, as Christ followers, we need to stand for our beliefs, but yet still be willing to say, I can admire something in that person and really believe in them enough that we can have a relationship that can allow us to be salt and light in their lives.
Like you said, Jesus is the perfect example because he was perfect. He was not a sinner, yet he had bridges to sinners, and he interacted with sinners. He loved sinners. So your point of admiring something, it wasn't like, I admire the sin, but he found things that he admired in those people that he interacted with because he was completely different as a perfect being when he's interacting with those who are fallen because of sin.
Yeah, you know, we've gone through this shift lately in the church, and I think there's a lot of good that's come with it, where we've said we need to represent to the world not just what we're against, but what we're for. And when we are leading students, having them understand that mentality, that we're talking about what you stand for and the things that you're about and the things that Christ makes you proactive about. And yet, here's my caution with that movement and that idea, even though I really love it. I think sometimes with that, we tend to swing the pendulum fully and say, well, we're only going to talk about what we're for. And so that may cause us to really be silent about things that we might disagree about. And obviously, we've got to be very careful. These are really interesting times in our culture to navigate. And students are on the forefront of this because a lot of the values are coming into contrast with our faith as believers, it seems, more and more in some areas. But I would say this. We can still say what we're for, and yet we can still, at appropriate times, draw our line in the sand and say, this is what we're not about. This is what we don't believe. And that reminds me of what some students did in our ministry, in our church youth group. A girl had this idea, thought it was a great idea. She said, why don't we do a John 3:16 day on March 16th? And on the third month, the 16th day, and she got her friends together, and they all, I think as I remember, they all wore white t-shirts, and they pinned a red ribbon, just something real simple. They bought some safety pins and some red ribbon, cut it up, and wore it, just pinned it to their shirt. And when people asked, they said, we're representing this passage, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And as they did that year after year, more and more students were doing this, wearing white. We thought it was a great idea. It was originated by a student. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that because we're actually going to bring that back in something that we're doing, this idea of the John 3:16 day. Let's take a break in the action to think about all the wonderful things that happen on a school campus, like my 7th grade daughter's orchestra concert, as well as Claim Your Campus. Claim Your Campus is equipping and uniting students across the nation to pray for change on their campus.
Check out the website at claimyourcampus.com, where you'll find free resources for youth workers, as well as downloading the app on Google Play and on the App Store.
A question I have for everyone who is listening, so think about this question as I ask it. What would you say right now are the top issues you think students face on a school campus? Think about it. What are those top issues? You may be able to immediately identify 3, 5, 7, 10. We've identified the top 20 issues on middle school and high school campuses. On several tours where we've interacted with high school students, middle school students, in our own research, asking them questions, we've heard from students, youth workers, and we're going to share with you the top 20 issues that we have found that are either prevalent or existent on the school campus.
One of those issues is the indifference of Christ followers at their school, not really caring. The second one is a lack of prayer for their school. Another one is selfish Christ followers. Another one is students not sharing their faith. And number 5 would be disunity amongst Christ followers.
We have disrespect toward their peers. We have prejudice, racism. We have the issue of gossip, issue of bullying, and disrespect towards school staff.
Health and nutrition is another issue, having access to that for everyone. The educational environment in general. The academic commitment of students is another issue. The protection over that school when it comes to the environment is another one. And the issue of violence.
And lastly, the last 5 we have identified are the sexual activity that students are involved with, substance abuse, depression, pornography, and just abuse at home, or whether it's verbal, physical, sexual, but abuse is also an issue.
These issues are listed on websites part of our organization called Claim Your Campus. So if you go to claimyourcampus.com, you can find those issues. Those issues are not just things that we've identified, and we didn't give you to those in order. There's no particular order to those. But as you go and check that out, you'll see that they're plugged into a strategy for students to make a difference and to bring change for their school through praying. And we talked about the story earlier of what happened when a group of students got together at a large high school of several thousand students, and what a handful were able to do through the power of prayer. And through that was birthed Claim Your Campus. It's part of our organization. But we're really a unifying movement of students. We're enabling, empowering, uniting, unifying, equipping students to pray and to meet for a weekly basis at their school for prayer. And our vision is to see every school in America change through student-led prayer movements and groups. And our mission within that is to raise up 1 million students that are meeting weekly on their campus for prayer. Now, that sounds like a big number and almost sounds like, yeah, it's a nice even number. It's interesting, though, the number of school campuses in the United States that contain middle school and high school is 67,000. Now, if you break that number down and you had 15 students per school meeting weekly for prayer, that's 1 million students. So if you break it down even further, per school, and you take that number 15 and you break that down for 5 days of the week, with a prayer group of simply 3 students a day, prayer is not only happening every day at that school, but it's happening every day at every school across America. And that's one of our visions. And the progress that we've been able to make in the last few years has been amazing. So it started with basically this one group of students meeting weekly at this school in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And now it's grown into quite a movement with over 900 schools in 44 states that we know of actively right now, where thousands of students across the country on a daily basis are praying for the strategies of grace, peace, justice, and mercy, and praying through those issues that were mentioned earlier. And so we're excited about that movement and what's happening and the technology that we use as well. There's an app. If you go to any of your app stores and you type in Claim Your Campus, you'll see our app. We spent a couple years developing that, and it launched about 2 years ago almost now, and it's being used by students all across the country and helps them and guide them through ways that they can impact their school through a campus prayer movement.
And we bring up the issues on the campus, and we actually give the students, when they sign up for this app and they start registering them, their school and developing their profile, we ask them a survey of what are the top issues at your school. And they can start identifying the top 3-5 issues at their school so that they can start praying for those top issues. So if there's a school that's, man, bullying is the number one issue, they can see in the app that that's the issue at their particular school, and they can pray for that issue.
So not only is it helping students identify what's going on at their school and how it's unique, but for us as an organization, we're able to track some of those numbers, and we know that the gossip and disrespect, those are two of the top issues that students are saying across the board as they communicate on that app, and we're able to know that and understand that. And this last weekend, as we're recording this episode right now, we had a gathering that we call the Claim Your Campus National Student Council Forum, where students from across the country flew, drove in, came together, and you came to this one place with us here at our headquarters, and we spent the weekend with them, and we were able to inspire, equip, mobilize them, and able to learn from them in the issues of what's happening on school campuses, and you're going to be hearing their stories throughout this podcast and in future episodes. But we were so encouraged. It was amazing, Jason, wasn't it, to have them here? I felt just so much more encouraged because I see the passion of students across the country and the things that they shared in common, being from all these different communities and all these different states and regions of the United States, but hearing a common thread of their passion for God and their understanding that prayer can change their school.
Yeah, it was incredible to be spending a weekend with these students, and a lot of them I didn't know. We brought in almost 30 students, and there was students I knew from last year's student council forum, but just standing there and seeing the like-mindedness and how the spirit in that room was very like-minded. And they all had this desire to see change happen on their school campus through the power of prayer. And I remember more towards the end of the weekend, after spending countless hours with them and getting to know them and hearing their stories and just seeing them worship and just interacting with them, I felt like it was a youth group moment. You know, you and I are both former youth pastors, and so we're in a position where we're not interacting with students on a daily basis or on a weekly basis as much as what we used to. And so when I was standing there and just seeing them come together, it just felt like an awesome youth group moment where we're just seeing them lead and seeing them have this desire to see God do some incredible things on their school campus.
And in that room, we're not talking about students that were all very outgoing and maybe what you might consider the natural leader type. They're students of all different kind of personalities and all kind of mixes in that room. And to me, one of the common threads was this idea that one student can really make a difference. And that's been the most encouraging thing to me, I think, over the last season of watching God use Claim Your Campus to change schools, is the fact that students of all different types, it only takes one on a campus that's really passionate and they burn for God, and they will do something very simple but bold, and that's decide to show up once a week at their school, invite a couple friends. And the stories that we heard of what's happening, I think of one in particular that we're going to hear her story, but how she was scared to death to show up at her school that first day, but invited a couple friends to join her, which is key. And through that, began to see a movement at her school that these students are obedient. And I think if you're listening to this, that's probably why you're listening and probably why you're engaged, is because you understand, like we do, that students are amazing and the capacity that they have to accept a challenge and to live it out really is almost unlimited. And we're excited by that, and we're excited by what we see God do through Claim Your Campus.
Okay, so I started Claim Your Campus like end of March last year. I didn't even know what Claim Your Campus was when I came here. I didn't even have the app downloaded on my phone, so don't feel bad if you didn't either. So, and I got back to my school, and we were like, all right, let's start it. And it started with four freshman girls meeting on Monday morning, and let me tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I ever have done. Like, I was completely terrified. And my friends were like, let's pair their eyes open. And I was like, yeah, let's not hold hands. Okay. And honestly, it's what we did. And then April, I got to go to my first out of the country mission trip to Haiti. And like the way they prayed, like it was just passion, you know? And God was like, that's what you need to have at CYC. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I got back and we were like, all right, let's do that, you know? And then not too long after that, we had like probably 8 people coming. We're like, no way, we can start another group. So we started a Wednesday group. So we had, it was all freshman girls and it was awesome. And then I got to go to NTS, which all you guys should go to because it was amazing. And I remember God has just been like putting on my heart that I need to be more bold. I need to be bolder. And then I remember during worship one night, God like just totally slapped me in the face. He's like, you're not doing enough, you know? And I remember just bawling my eyes out. Like, yeah, it was awful. Just, you know, and God just showed me picture after picture of people in my school who I didn't even know who they were, who didn't know God. And I was like, you know, you're right. I'm not doing enough. So when the school year started, we found out there's this Bible study in our school that we didn't know existed. They didn't know we existed. So we're like, all right. So they're reaching about 8 people. We are reaching about 8 people. So like, all right, let's make it a huge deal on social media and like text all our friends. And that's what we did. And we were expecting maybe like 10 people. And 30 people showed up. All right, like it was awesome. It got even better because 2 days later, we were gonna have our second group, and we were like, I'm not sure if we like, because we had a Wednesday group. So we had a Monday group and a Wednesday group. And we're like, all right, let's start a Friday group, you know? So we had a Wednesday group, we're like, all right, let's do a Friday group. And so we were like, you know, we weren't sure how many people were gonna come, so we weren't sure if we advertised it very well. And 50 people showed up to that. And then the most students we've had were like, I remember one day we had like 72 people. Yeah, for Meet Me at the Pole, we had like 60-something people, and it's just like awesome just to see what God can do. And now we have prayer every day on our campus.
When we went back, we were super like on fire about CYC and really getting it going. So we started doing it. We were all together at first, and then we kind of branched off. But I do the group nobody likes to come to. I do one at 8:15 in the morning. So I do the morning one, and we never have the same core people every week. I'm really the only person that is the same one at my group every week. So usually what I do is I'll go to the school and I'll tell our principal, I'll say, hey, we got CYC again today. And he'll announce it over the PA and some people will come. And then we'll literally walk through the cafeteria and we'll just pick up random people and say, hey, you want to pray for the school with us? So I remember the first week I did that, this girl, her name is Patience. And she was really struggling. Her dad had just committed suicide. She was looking for answers. She just felt lost. She had, you know, she didn't know what to do. So she thought, you know, the only thing she could do was turn to God. So she came and she talked to me, and I didn't really, you know what to do about that. So I mean, I just told her, just gave her stuff that I know how to do. So I told her like, whenever I'm going through stuff, I just pray and just talk to God about it. So she started coming to CYC every week, and then she started talking to a few counselors that I know of, and then recently she started going to a youth group, I think like 3 weeks ago, and she just got baptized at her church last week. So and then recently another thing, another cool thing, CYC, Olivia and I, last, whenever it was, summer, we got to go to Washington, D.C., and we got to, you know, pray for our generation, and we got to, you know, tell people what Claim Your Campus really is. And I don't know if this is a direct correlation or anything, and this is a story I've never told anyone, but the week after I went back to school for all this, after this stuff happened, like just a bunch of kids in my school were saying like that they had heard about, you know, what I got to do and stuff. And I remember it was a Monday, and there were 30 kids that just showed up to our CYC, to my CYC group in the morning, just around the tables. And we like did a prayer walk around the schools and stuff. And then that day, like a bunch of teachers came up to me and they were just telling me how like they think that we should do CYC more often and stuff. And I was telling them that we're starting to get groups like every day and stuff. And they're like, it's a good thing because they've seen, I know one thing in my group that I always pray for is like, I know they focus a lot on the violence, but a lot of things that I focus on a lot, like is extra. I like to pray about academics. because two years ago, what I was, you know, I was struggling with academics. I was just lazy, didn't want to do my homework. So I know that, like, I understood what kids were going through because it's like, dude, like, you got to be at school at 4 o'clock, you know, then you're extracurriculars. You don't want to do this. So, like, I just started praying for it. And a lot of teachers said that once we started praying for that, that they saw, like, a lot of their kids in their classes, their grades started going up, that were coming to CYC. And one of our teachers we call him Tippy, but he's a really cool dude. And he came up to me, and he prayed over CYC, like the whole organization, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for you and Madison and Zoe. He prayed for all us four, because he knew that we were gonna. He said, I know you four are gonna do big things in our school. So I just think CYC has helped a lot of our teachers get on board with the idea of prayer in schools, and then it's like helped students in many areas of life. And if you guys don't have it at your school yet, you got to do it, because prayer equals change.
What we have seen is prayer is changing campuses. We've heard a number of stories similar to these students that are just amazing to know that God is moving on their school campus. And if you are a youth leader, a youth pastor, and you're going, man, I want to see Claim Your Campus come to my community, come to our middle school and high schools, and really encourage students to start praying for their campus, you can go to claimyourcampus.com. We have something called CYC Connect, where as a youth leader, as a youth pastor, you can really connect the local church to your local middle school and high school and allow the students to figure out how to pray for their schools, but also get organized and organize in days and in groups and times, and really motivate them to pray for their schools. And so we have the CYC Connect, which is a package deal that provides content, it provides directions, it provides a program, it provides visual support for the screens, it provides everything in one package, allows you as a youth pastor to put on this event at your church. And I know as a youth pastor, you draw in students from multiple campuses and allows all those campuses to get organized for Claim Your Campus.
In the last 7 years, as we've seen this movement grow from one youth group to across the country, we've been invited and presented Claim Your Campus to over 500,000 people at live events, and we've trained over 10,000 students. And we were asked over and over, how can we do this? So that's one of the reasons why we built and created CYC Connect. Now, as we think about this whole idea in the episode, what we've been talking about is students intersecting their faith and their community on their campus. It's important for us to remember that we need to help students navigate through how to best represent their faith. They talked about that as one of their greatest challenges. And so it's up to us as people that are helping them and guiding them to help them navigate how to best represent their faith in an appropriate and loving way.
And I know we plugged Claim Your Campus. This is something that we are very passionate about, seeing students pray. And Claim Your Campus being a part of this organization, Never the Same, we are plugging it, but we also feel that that's a tangible way for us as youth leaders to encourage students to represent their faith on campus, to pick a day, pick a time, and simply pray for the issues that they see at their school. And that's a tangible way for them to go, I want to represent my faith on campus, and this is how I'm going to do it. And so I would just encourage anybody who's listening who may not be familiar with Claim Your Campus to check it out. Consider Claim Your Campus as an option in your ministry, encouraging your students, middle school or high school, it doesn't matter. We've seen some bold and courageous middle school students start Claim Your Campus groups on their campus and seen some incredible outcomes from that. And so don't underestimate your students, that they don't want to represent their faith on campus, but instead encourage them in ways that they can.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, whose vision is to see new generations transformed in Christ to further the kingdom of God. Learn more at neverthesame.org.